Welcome to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, brought to you by Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. The Rapala family of fishing products, including VMC hooks and 13 fishing rods, reels, and more. And the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. Now, the Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, and the College Bracket event, leading to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information about how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com along with all their other great products. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels myself and could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20. And what a show the elites put on at Lay Lake this past week with local stick Will Davis Jr., a rookie who made the elites by winning the TNT Bass Nation title last year, getting the win over a heartbroken Brandon Polinick, who had led for 3 days, had the winning fish on Championship Sunday, only to suffer a 4-ounce dead fish penalty to lose by 2 ounces. Now, to add to that excitement, the 2022 Bassmaster Classic champ Jason Christie caught the biggest fish of the season, a 9-pound, 4-ounce heifer on day three on his way to a third-place finish. And as is always the case after an elite event, the top three are all here today, beginning with Jason Christie, who joins us now on a VMC Redline hook, which is fitting since he had the VMC monster bag of the tournament on day two with over 23 pounds, and he joins us now. Jason, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am fantastic. Over 23-pound bag on that third day, anchored by the 9-pound, 4-ounce heifer, as I called it. But you thought it was only about 7 pounds or so. Now, you sandbagging us on Bassmaster Live, or did you really think it was only a 7-pounder?
No, I mean, I knew it was a big one, but when I caught it, actually when I saw it in the water, you know, I saw her laying there by a lily pad, and I thought she was 4 or 5. And then, you know, I got her hooked, fought her. You just don't think of a fish being that big at a place like that. So, you know, when I pulled her out of the water, I was like, good night. I mean, for me to put it in Bass Track at 7 pounds, then, you know, it was probably, I probably thought it was bigger than that.
But, yeah.
At the time, I literally unhooked her, put her in the live well, culled real quick. And I thought, well, she's over 7. So I told the marshal to put her in at 7. And a few minutes later, I went back and had to cull again. And because I caught another fish. And in doing that, I had to move her to the other live well. And when I picked her up, I told the marshal, I was like, this is a big fish. I said, I think she's over 8 easy. And we both kind of agreed on that, you know, over 8, didn't know if she was low, high. The thing about her is she was long, but she was thick. Mm-hmm. She wasn't over fat, but she was super, super thick and just a giant fish. And you know, for me to catch her out of 2 foot of water in the very back of a creek, you know, with 80 degree water in there. And I think she was either getting ready to spawn or she was just coming off of it just by the way that she acted or was acting. But yeah, she's a big old fish.
A big old fish, probably. So you usually go a little on the light side. So if this was like, if it was Ike and Ellie, that'd have been like a 12 pounder. It would have gone in as a 12, 13 maybe. Yeah. largest fish ever in the history of bass.
I kind of felt sad for a little bit for Brandon Cobb that he, you know, he made it through the big, you know, the lakes that we typically catch big ones. And, you know, you think you probably got it home free. And I mean, what was second big bass, a 6 pounder, and
right,
and beat out that. But the good thing for Brandon Cobb is he's won a lot of money and he's probably going to win more this year. It seems like he's top five every week.
Yeah, let's not feel too sorry for Brandon Cobb. But the reference, of course, that Jason Christie is making, that this fish at 9 pounds, 4 ounces comes as the, you know, the tour turns to a river at Lay Lake. We don't think about 9 pounders there. Apparently, they every once in a while will pop up, but that's not really what you think about at Lay Lake. And then next with the Sabine River, forget about it. I mean, no 9 pounders coming out of there. Maybe catfish or something like that, but no 9 pound largemouth. I don't think we're going to see it at the Sabine. And then the Northern Swing. And there's going to be a bunch of 5, 6, and maybe even a 7 pound smallmouth caught here or there. But you don't expect this is going to hold up, Jason. This is an extra 10 G's. This fish should hold up.
I hope so. I honestly think you're going to think I'm crazy. It would not be overly surprised if somebody caught a 9 pounder at the Sabine. I mean,
you're crazy.
Likely. I mean, nobody,
I think you're
nobody
crazy.
Would. No, nobody would have thought that at Lay.
Yeah.
But in practice one time at the Sabine, I had an 8 or a 9 pounder on that I there are great big ones in there. There's just not very – I mean, there's a few. You know, they catch a random great – because it's right below Toledo Bend. You know,
it's
so there's – and I'm sure there's guys that go to Toledo, you know, from – that orange area and catch a couple big ones and bring them back and put them in the river or something like that. So, I mean, the chances are slim, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Jason Christie with us here off his third place finish. So you get the 9 pounder, but you as fishermen, we always kind of think about the one that got away and the fact that, you know, you lost one or two here that, boy, if I had that one, you know, I'm winning this tournament because you only finished third by a total of 2.6 ounces or 2 pounds, 6 ounces, 2 pounds, 9, something like that. You were close enough. One more really good one and you're winning the tournament. Do you think more about that or do you just say, wait a minute, I caught a 9 pounder? I mean, that's like 3 fish here.
Right now it's the one that got away.
Yeah.
And it's not just the one. It's, the third day when I had 23, if I boat what bites, I come in with 26 and a half, 27, just, I mean, because of the 9 pounder, if I boat what bites that day, I come in with a giant bag. But it's just, you know, it's been one of those years where I'm not, you know, my land percentage is just not that great. And I don't know why, because it's never been that way. But, you know, the fish on the final day, it really eats at me. And it's almost funny because I've had some people tell me about, you know, some of the comments on social media about this, you know, rookie mistake and stuff like this. Like, I've swung hundreds of fish that size. And seriously, I have lost not very many, 2 or 3 or 4. I have a rule when I fish and with a few baits that you crank them down, you winch them in, and you swing them no matter how big they are. And a frog is one of them just because of the way they get hooked. And
sure,
that was just one of those where she just came off. And if I reach over and grab her, it's a done deal. But you got to think about this. That happened to me. I mean, and that wasn't the only one. I lost several nice ones over the week that should not have came off. And I know I talked to Brandon. He lost some. But for me to lose a fish like that on the last day to have at the boat, and then for Polinick to lose on a dead fish penalty, it was meant for Will to win. I mean, you can't control it when it's like that. So it was meant for him to win, and for some reason it wasn't meant for Brandon or I.
Yeah. Well, and this pushed you up to 38th in the Angler of the Year standings, which puts you above that cut line for the Classic. I mean, this is Tulsa coming up next. Hey, you got to make this Classic. I mean, that's your neck of the woods. You'll be the favorite there. But that, you know, that tough start at Lake Okeechobee kind of washed that away a little bit with this one. You need that system. They should let you guys, like, drop one. You know what I mean? It's just like drop one terrible tournament to determine, you know, the Classic field. But that's just my opinion. But it's been kind of a long way back because it wasn't great for you at Murray. Just kind of, you know, a little under middle of the pack. You've had some other really good finishes. And but this one here went a long ways to pushing you up that list here as you go to the Sabine, where you're pretty solid there too.
Yeah, it's just been one of those, like I said, one of those seasons. And you know, the season started off by going to Okeechobee and doing terrible, and then coming home immediately and getting the news that the Classic's at Grand Lake. So it's been a stressful year, and yeah, I'm doing everything I can to get in that the Classic at Grand. You know, from I even jumped in a few opens just to do everything that I possibly could to get in. Now, if I do everything that I can and I don't make it, then yeah, I'll feel terrible, but I won't feel, you know, there's nothing else that I could have done. But, I mean, I'm doing everything, and that's all I can do.
Yeah, just go back to the Sabine and win again. I mean, you won it last year. Why not? I mean, go up there and knock that out and get the win. But third place finish in this one in the middle of the season. Great things to come the rest of the way for Jason Christie. And that 9-pounder, man, that was, I just, you know, I wish it was on live camera, but what a great fish that was. Jason, I appreciate you so much. Always great to catch up. And remember, top three right here. So hopefully we'll be talking again.
Awesome. Thanks. I appreciate you having me on the show.
All right, man. Thank you. Coming up next, Brandon Pollenick finished second in this event, but it was oh so close. We'll explain next on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as we move up from third place to second place, I really honestly thought this was going to be a Rapala Winner's Circle segment with Brandon Pollenick, because he led this thing from beginning to end. It looked like he had enough on Championship Sunday to win it. It was kind of comical because he said he was the clueless angler. He was fishing, you know, he could have paddled his boat from the ramp to where he was fishing. And it was a dead fish that cost them from winning this tournament and put Will Davis Jr. In the winner's circle. But Brandon, being the pro that he is, if there was ever a guy that was going to blow us off in a top three, it would have been, he had the right to do it. I mean, this was just heartbreaking. And yet he said, let's do it, man. And he joins us now on the VMC hook. Brandon, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Thank you. I'm good.
You could have blown me off. I would have totally understood it. I mean, nobody does. The guys are great for coming on, and there's been some heartbreaking losses. Guys have been boat raced, you know, that have been leading the tournament, but not like this. This was just heartbreaking, losing this on a dead fish, a 4-ounce penalty, and you lose by 2 ounces. But you're just a pro, man. You're just like, yeah, I'll do it. I'm good. And here you are.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not, I guess it just wasn't my time to win. Right. And I felt like I controlled all the things that I had control over throughout the course of the event. And, you know, I'm like, I was pumping fresh water. I was checking on my fish and just had a freak deal happen that I haven't ever seen happen before. And my live well divider, the screws loosened up on it on my way back, either on my way down or on my way back from the ramp, because I left the place I'd been fishing, had about an hour left. I was going to go run some other stuff that I had because I figured I needed two more big bites. There was clouds and some wind rolling in. It was getting hard to see in my area, so I was going to make an adjustment, try to win. And I guess they loosened up. A cold tag slid behind the bar, pinned one of those fish up against the divider, and when I got back to weighing, he was not kicking. He was not looking so good.
I mean, that kind of stuff, what the odds are of something like that happening are just absolutely mind-boggling. And you've had some other issues that, you know, you say yourself, yeah, that was me. You know, you're the king of the six-fish live well. But you had this under control. I mean, this was just something, you know, that just happens. And And maybe it doesn't even happen if you're, you know, you did so much of your damage in beeswax right there by the ramp. You know, if you're right there, maybe it doesn't happen, but it was that opportunity that you took to try and run some fresh water that might have caused the issue ultimately.
Yeah, there were lots of good things that happened on Will's side and bad things that happened on my side, or even Christy's, right?
Yeah.
Christy losing that giant one the last day, like, that cost him the win. Will catching a 6-pounder on day two in his spotted bass hole, like, that doesn't normally happen, but that gives him the win. You know, like, there were a lot of things that happened throughout the week that just made it his time to win.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why I'm just okay with it. Like, I've been around long enough to know that when it's your time to win, you can't stop it.
Closing in on $2 million in winnings is Brandon Polinick, and is still a young, young man out there, a two-time AOI champion, the last one coming in 2022. And, I mean, on some level, the fact that you were a Bass Nation champion that has gone on to this great run, and when you look at Will Davis Jr., I mean, he's in there because of the TNT Bass Nation Championship, and here he is, five tournaments into his elite career. He's sixth in points in the AOI, leading ROI, but you know, there's kind of a club there of you guys that came out of the Bass Nation, right?
Oh, 100%. I always have a soft spot in my heart for guys that come out of the Bass Nation. And we have some incredible anglers on the Elite Series that are still competing, you know, today, that have came up through that since I took the first berth. And it's really cool to see, you know, kind of that. It's like a, almost like a, you know, fellowship kind of guys that, you know, if you come through the Bass Nation, it's like you have an instant connection a little bit.
Yeah.
And if I wasn't going to win, I was happy to see him be able to pull it off. You know, he's put in his time on that body of water, grew up fishing there, just all the stars aligned for it to happen.
You were fifth just a few weeks ago at Santee Cooper, and then the second here, so you're hot right now. Overcoming, you know, the lousy tournament at, you know, down at Seminole, didn't have a great classic, you know, certainly for you, and I'm sure that was disappointing, but a nice finish at Eufaula, and now you've climbed all the way to 14th in the points. Just talk about that.
I pulled the phone away. I don't know if you were telling me points or not, but I pulled the phone away.
Oh, I forgot. Okay.
I didn't have to hear what you said.
That's fantastic. All right, let me. The listeners have heard that. Now I'm going to say you don't want to know where you stand in the points, but you can speak to this. This is the second time that you've won a championship, and then you're coming back to a championship or coming back in the following year. We've seen guys really have tough years after winning. I mean, we saw it with Canterbury, we saw it with Fighter, we've seen it over and over again. Just talk about the pressure of being the reigning AOI champion and then fishing the next year and kind of struggling a little bit or you know, to get your footing again, if you will.
Yeah, I think anytime that you are at the top, it's always easier to slip.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you're climbing up the mountain, you generally have a solid foothold and like you try and get to the top. But once you get to the top, if it rains a little bit, it's a slippery slope. And I think it's easy to, you know, try to hold on to that and to try to play it safe. And so I'm cautious of that, you know, and recognizing that and knowing that the competition is way too fierce that you can't ever play it safe.
Yeah. I forgot, Brandon Polinick famously never checks the points all season long. So that's why I ripped the phone away. That's a bad job by me forgetting that.
Since 2014.
That's a good job by you, though, man, to recognize where I was going and to rip that phone away from your ear. Now, as we speak, obviously, through the magic of electronics, we're able to speak a little bit here earlier in the week. You are fishing an open that I'm fishing in, the Wheeler Open, the St. Croix Bassmaster Open on Wheeler. You're obviously extremely accomplished. Why? You know, why do you choose that? You're not into EQs or anything like that. Why fish the Opens? Is it just because you're a professional fisherman and there's another 50 grand that can be made there? Or is it something to do in between now and the Sabine, which is not too far off? Why fish the Opens that you do fish?
Yeah, I always like to fish at least one division of the Open, you know, because for me, it's just a few extra tournaments. They're generally on bodies of water that, you know, we potentially could fish mm-hmm. in the elites at some time or another Open or something. So it's a good learning experience. There's a camaraderie aspect to it where I get to see a lot of my buddies mm-hmm. that, you know, that I'm friends with through the industry in the Opens that I don't get to see on the elites. And then, you know, I picked Division One because it was really convenient with the elite schedule.
Right.
Normally I would like to fish the Northern or, you know, I think it's like Division Three this year.
Right.
You know, where you've got some smallmouth tournaments and stuff like that. But for me, they're just fun. You know, I use them as events where I can gamble maybe just a little bit mm-hmm. more. Like, I don't have the pressure. I don't have the points that I have to worry about in them. And so for me, it's just a way to be able to fish a tournament, stay competitive, learn, but then also enjoy it differently than I would in a lead event.
And you might end up with a dude like me in the back of your boat. I mean, that, you know, that you never know. That could be good or could not be good. I don't know, but I will speak on behalf of all co-anglers that when we look at the elite or when we look at the Open's roster a couple of weeks or a week before the tournament, I'll be honest with you. I look at the list of pros that are entered and I go down through there and I see how many elites are in there, big time guys, big time names. And then you just hope, man, I'd love to spend a day in a boat with Brandon Polinick, or I'd love to spend a day in a boat with, you know, this guy or that guy that is fishing them. So I always appreciate to see those elites that do make that move. And of course, there are some big guns that are working their way back in. Bobby Lane, Ish Monroe, trying to get back into the elites as well. And, you know, so you always have that. It just shows how tough this field is, for sure. Brandon Polinick has been our guest. Well, Brandon, congratulations on the second place finish. It was fun to watch throughout, and you've handled it graciously. A tough loss in terms of not winning the tournament, but still second place doesn't suck. And I hope things went well for you. By the time the listeners hear this, you're either fishing on Championship Saturday or not at Wheeler. And hopefully I drew you, man. Maybe. You never know.
Yeah, could be, maybe. Yeah. Maybe we can get you a win. You'll fish with me Friday. Give you a win on Friday, and then I'll be leading going into Saturday.
And I'll learn a lot more about throwing a drop shot if I get the chance to get in a boat with Brandon Polinick. That is for sure. He'll show me how to tie a crazy Alberto knot. I'd love to have that. All right, Brandon, I appreciate you, man. Great stuff.
Yep, you're welcome.
All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, Rapala Winner's Circle, Will Davis Jr. is up next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now time for the Rapala Winner's Circle with a guy that, you know, we talked to him when he made the field as a rookie, winning the TNT Bass Nation. And you're not supposed to jump out like this in your rookie year and be sixth in the overall angler of the year standings, first, of course, in the rookie of the year standings, and already raising his first blue trophy. We say that as if, you know, they come easily, but he is Will Davis Jr. He got it done on his home pond at Lay Lake. And he joins us now on the VMC Redline Hook. Will, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on.
Has it all kind of settled in yet, now that it's been a little bit, a few days, you know, you won the Whataburger Bassmaster Elite at Lay Lake?
No, sir. No, it's still setting in. You know, I still get chill bumps when somebody mentions it to me. But I'm sure it'll set in when I'm heading to Sabine to fish the next one. So
yeah,
it probably really hit hard there.
So they give you the big check, but the big check doesn't weigh very much. One thing you learned was that blue trophy, lifting that sucker up over your head, you got to make sure you're in shape for that thing, because that is not a light trophy.
No, sir. You better have your hands placed just right on it when you try to hoist it up. Cause you weren't too hard to drop that thing, and it looks like it's heavy. It's heavy. It's probably 40, 50 pounds.
Yeah. Well, you'd be willing to do it again a few times, right, down the road. Dude, that's no big deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you know, earlier in the week we talked, you were out there cutting the grass because, you know, you still got to take care of your chores. You know, it doesn't matter if you win a $100,000 tournament, you got to still do your chores. Did you take the where is the trophy now? I mean, is it like the hood ornament on your mower? Is it on a special shelf? Is it still in the truck? I mean, where is that thing?
It's actually sitting in the floor of my living room. I got to figure out where I'm going to put it. Yes, sir.
No, you don't have a special room for all these trophies and all this stuff? I mean, you won the TNT. I mean, you're starting to build up quite a bit of hardware.
No, I'm just real fortunate. I'll figure out somewhere to put it. It'll be a special place for sure.
Yeah. Now, when you win the Whataburger Bassmaster Elite, do you get anything from Whataburger? Did you get, like, some burgers or, like, some certificates, a year's worth of Whataburger? I mean, I know in Sylacauga, they might not have one right there, but there can't be one too far from you.
No, sir, no. There's actually one in Chelsea, Alabama, and I hadn't they gave me, you know, a big stack of cards and stuff for free burgers and drinks and stuff like that. And they gave me a nice cooler, and it was very neat. I appreciate them doing that.
Well, there you go. I mean, that is very, very cool. Will Davis Jr. with us talking about his victory. And this was kind of a family deal, right? I mean, you know, your family's been in the tackle business for years. You know, your pop, he's the guy that taught you to fish, and this was your body of water. But this is something that's been very important for your entire family. Talk about how that was.
Yeah, you know, my dad taught me how to fish on that lake. My first tournament that I ever fished was 7 years old on that lake. It was a Tuesday nighter out of Cedar Creek Marina. I actually put in there during practice and, you know, get to go out there and compete at the highest level on my home pond in front of my dad that taught me everything and sacrificed all them years, you know, and still sacrificed working every day at his bait business. And to hoist a trophy in front of him and hand it off to him, tell him that he's the one that deserves this trophy, you know, that means more to me than $100,000 or that trophy could ever, you know, mean to me, for sure.
Yeah. You estimated that you and your pop have taken more than $300,000 worth of money off of Lay Lake, so it's like an ATM machine for you guys. You know, Buddy Gross told me one time that they basically threw him off of Nickajack, that he can't fish any of the derbies on Nickajack anymore because of the fact that, you know, he knows all the spots and knows the lake so well. That might happen to you. You know, you might not get to fish, you know, your little Wildcat deals anymore, your little one-day weekend deals on Lay Lake anymore. They're going to say no more than the Davises. Just keep them away from our lake, right?
I don't know. They, you know, I grew up and still fish around here some. With some of the best anglers in the world. Mm-hmm. We have a strong group of anglers, and everybody gets along, and they're hammers around here. And to beat these guys around here, you know, it means a lot to beat some of these high-end people in big tournaments around here. It's like, it's not as quiet as Elite Series, but it's ranked on up there, I promise you.
Were you surprised at all how the lake performed? Because there were a lot of people who were a little bit nervous about this one. But, I mean, you were very steady, 15-14, 18-5, and then 14-7, 14-2. You know, is that kind of the target when you're out doing a one-day deal there? I mean, is that 15-pound bag a good bag? Or, you know, did you think it did a little better or a little worse than what you might have thought?
Usually this time of year, see, we blast off at the crack of day, mm-hmm. and in local tournaments right here. And so in Elite Series, we blasted off like a good hour, 15 minutes past what we would have in a regular tournament. So mm-hmm. that being said, in the Elite Series, the shad spawn in the Elite Series tournament, shad spawn was going on. So all these big females just came off bed is in the grass. A lot of them are, and they're already gorged themselves in an hour and 15 minutes before we get there. So we didn't catch them like we, you know, would have if we started a little bit earlier. So with that being said, 17 to 20 pounds this time of year about wins everything down here.
Mm-hmm. So we talked to Jason. Go ahead. We talked to Jason Christie a little bit earlier, you know, about his 9-pounder. I thought that was you know, shocking down there. He said some of the locals say, yeah, they show up every once in a while, but I mean, there's not a lot of 9 and 9.5 pound fish that are caught, I wouldn't imagine.
No, sir. No, they used to do a stocking program from like 2000 to 2011 through a outdoor store in Birmingham. Was called Mark's Outdoors. They had a 500 boat tournament every year down there for that 10 to 12 years, and everybody got a bag of fingerlings, and they dropped the F1s off their first spot, 15 to 20 or 30 of them. And over time, it accumulated big bass. And, you know, this time of year, you still had to weigh in 22 pounds just to even think about winning. And then the actual spring, if you didn't have close to 25, you wasn't going to win. Mm-hmm. So the lake's definitely changed, you know, a big bit. So there's no more stocking program, and the pressure that the lake's getting now is just unbelievable. And so it's dropped big time as far as the weights, for sure.
Yeah. It still was very, very steady, certainly out there. Now talk to me a little bit about, you had made this comment that when you first saw that Lay Lake was on the schedule, you weren't real thrilled about that. I mean, was this, you know, basically you don't want people to see all your little honey holes, or what was the deal there?
Well, I've had me a little egg basket saved up from just probably Lay Lake through the years where I could actually do this, you know, at least for a couple of years. And going there, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to expose everything under the sun. And if I didn't win that tournament, it would really hurt my feelings, to be honest with you. I went in there trying to make me a top 10. I really wanted to win it, but showing all them places, that's why I said that, because you know how live is and TV show this day and age, because that river fish is small for big ones. And it took me my whole life to figure out that them places. So that's why I said that.
It's a little dicey where you were, though, right? I mean, you talked about, you know, I mean, you could tear some stuff up going up there. You wouldn't tear that nitro up too much getting up in there.
Yes, sir. No, you know, fortunately, I never clipped a rock with my lower unit or under my boat, troll motor, nothing like that. But it's sketchy. It's sketchy because, you know, every year or every other year, we have massive floods out here. They open up the floodgates. And when they do that, it shoots that water out from Logan Martin down, and it comes up about every bit of 100 to 120, 30 feet up in the air out through there, and it pushes them boulders around up there. So they move. And you might think you know how to run up to there every year, this, that, and other, but it changes. So you have to be careful for sure. I've seen a lot of guys go up there, and a lot of guys tear up basically everything they've got up there.
Yeah, see, that's what you're supposed to say. You're supposed to say, look, you know, don't go where I went, because that's a bad spot to go. You're supposed to tell, don't even think about going up there, because you're going to tear up your gear unless you're professional at this. You don't want anybody going up there and messing with those areas, but that's for sure. All right, good stuff. We're going to take a little break here. When we come back, share a little bit about this Davis Tackle Company, Davis Bait Company in Sylacauga, Alabama, because they might be selling a few extra baits here after Will Davis Jr. got this win here in just his, what, fifth Elite Series event, and he is a winner on the Bassmaster Elite Series Tour already. It's good stuff. We'll be back more with Will Davis in the Rapala Winner's Circle next, right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. We visit with Will Davis Jr. coming off his win at the Whataburger Bassmaster Elite at Lay Lake, just about an hour or so from the home for him. And, you know, Will, a lot of guys talk about that, you know, there would be that home lake jinx. I mean, that used to be the thing for years and years. It was really tough to get it done if it was a classic or if it was just an Elite Series event on your home body of water. And talk about the added pressure to do well there, because I would imagine that that's something that is on your head. You don't want to you don't want to bust on your own water and have everybody looking at you sideways like, Will, what are you doing?
No. Don't think it didn't go through my head on day two when I only had like one fish at 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Or the last day when I had three fish. Basically three fish. I had a 12-incher. So I had four fish at 1:30. So it definitely went through my mind. You know, I didn't want to absolutely just bomb on my own water because it's easy to do that. You know, you start running a lot of memories and history and, mm-hmm. They'll be biting over there. The grass is greener over there. And then you get over there and the grass is dead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you just have to act like it's not a big tournament and just go fish your strengths, and what's going to happen is going to happen.
How do you handle practice on something like that? I mean, you know, you got all these spots, you know, all these areas. Did you stay away from that? Did you check spots that were, you know, your regular spots that you knew?
I checked three spots during my whole tournament. Never got inside the tail race during practice. These guys are so good. If they see you on a place, you know, not saying that they, you know, would fish it, but you never know. And I didn't want to give them no idea of what the deal was. You know, a lot of them did, but knowing the lake, it was extra beneficial for me because I knew the areas to go to. If that place had a boat, I had another place to go to.
Yeah.
So other guys that just came there, they don't have the history and they don't know, somebody's on my spot or somebody, they didn't bite on this patch or that section, you know. But I just knew where to go, and if it was meant to be, it was meant to be. And you know, I had no idea that I was going to catch them, you know, that good on day two for sure, because I actually didn't even go in there and fish that way. And then day three, I had to totally change up and fish new stuff up there. Had a couple key boulders that had some big spots behind it, and I catch one a day. I caught a 4-pounder off of it day three and a 3-pounder off of it yesterday. And I needed every one of them. So It definitely played in my wheelhouse the way that it unfolded for sure.
Now, you're style efficient. I know that you were able to to make the catch that may have won this tournament for you on a jerkbait, but you're a flipper, right? I mean, that, you know, if that's the first and foremost, the thing that you want to do is flip a creature bait in there.
Not necessarily. I like to fish fast.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you talk about on the bed.
Well, obviously, yeah, on the bed, obviously. Yeah, but I mean, that's where old white eye came from, right?
No,
I mean, that's the one.
Absolutely. Yeah, I fished a fighting frog in there, Davis wood jig in there, and shaky worm in there, and then I tried a drop shot the last resort and in my mind, and then they didn't want it. And I was like, well, hey, old school time, here we come. Pulled out the jerk bait and put some brand new Gamagatsu number fours on there, and I threw it over there, just floating jerk bait. So it sit there, and this fish was roaming back and forth. She had an area about 10 foot, and she always came back the same little hole. And I'd wait till she got right, and I'd jerk it down two or three times. And she'd come over there, and she got her mouth full of it.
Yeah.
Both of them did. So,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
That is good stuff. And, you know, a lot of people jerkbait, they say, well, you know, it's got to be super clear. It's got to be, you know, 8-9 feet of water. It's got to be 60 degrees or cooler. I mean, you're throwing in nothing in 80-degree water there, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was actually 75 in there. So
yeah,
there was on the tail end of the spawn.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Tell us more about the Davis Bait Company. Everybody saw it on your jersey. They know the story. It was referenced many times to your dad, William Davis. And tell us more about what he's making there, what his specialty is there, because I know he makes a really nice spinner bait and a few other good-looking deals.
Yes, sir. So he's been in business for himself for 35 years, and he makes hundreds of different baits. And you know, he's got two deals going on. He's got Davis Industries, which he makes lures for other people, and then he's got Davis Bait Company that he makes all just his stuff. And he's only got basically three, four employees. So it's I told him, I said, Bubba, I said, you're going to have to get you some help.
I was going to say, you're going to have to get some more people if you keep winning tournaments and leading the ROI and being in the top 10 in the AOI. I mean, you're going to have to go get some more guys.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But, yeah, he makes the best products I've ever put in my hand. He takes time, and he's very passionate about his work. His paint job is on all of his stuff is just phenomenal. And it just shows you that, you know, if you take care and want to succeed in something, you got to have passion about it. And he's done it this long and made it. And, you know, he knows what he's doing with some baits, that's for sure.
They still running their tournament series out of down there?
You talking about his tournament?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he has a tournament every year for the ARC of Talladega, and the Nitro gives us a boat, like a Z18. It's a draw prize. It's 225 boats. It's a no entry fee tournament, and they raise a lot of money for the ARC through that. So it's a nonprofit organization type deal, and you know, my dad is, God blessed him to be able to do that for them. And, he don't make a dime off of it. So, it's a good deal.
Yeah.
It's a good deal.
All right. And finally, your thoughts when you're at the tank, Brandon's got a dead one. It's going to be really, really close. It's a 4-ounce penalty. You win the thing by 2 ounces. You take the trophy, you take the money, certainly. But you got to feel for Brandon. I mean, that's a absolutely tough way, man. That's a bad way to lose one, you know, after leading the whole tournament.
Absolutely. You know, my hat's off to Brandon. I've looked up to him since I've been a little young man. And he's a heck of a fisherman, an even better guy. And the way it went down, it could have went down my way too. But, you know, my hat's off to him. Yeah. He'll win some more.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about that.
I promise you.
Don't worry about that.
That's right.
All right. That's right. Will Davis Jr. has been our guest. Will, I appreciate you so much. Congratulations on the win. Good luck at the Sabine and the rest of the way. And we'll look forward to chatting again down the road.
I sure appreciate you having me on the show.
All right. Thank you. That's Will Davis Jr. getting the win there. He is leading the Rookie of the Year standings. He is now sixth in the Progressive Angler of the Year standings. I mean, that is a really impressive deal, what he is doing right now in his rookie year. Okay, before we put the Bassmaster Radio Phoenix back on the trailer, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. As I said, the Opens anglers are fishing the St. Croix Bassmaster Open at Wheeler Lake, an event that I also competed in. We'll have a complete report for you on that next week, including the winner and all the juicy details from that tournament. In the meantime, visit Bassmaster.shop for some of the freshest styles that we've ever seen in quite a while. Bassmaster.shop is the official home of all your Bassmaster Classic gear and gear for each and every tournament. And speaking of tournaments, next up for the elites will be the Sabine River, and it's not too late to get into Rapala Fantasy Fishing, and we have a group that you can join as well to beat the Bassmaster Radio group. Here's how it works. Go to Bassmaster.com and click on Fantasy Fishing, and then you create an account and log in, and then join a group from the group's pull down. Now, each week, the high point earner in our group wins a prize package from the show's sponsor and gets a shout out on the show. So go ahead and join our group and play Rapala Fantasy Fishing. Now, if you're looking for the best in sublimated fishing jerseys, the best in the business is Valley Fashions. Now, they have all the major logos, and it will set up your artwork for you. They'll also get your jerseys turned around quickly. Valley Fashions has incredible stock designs, or they'll work with you on a custom design. Valley Fashions has done our jerseys at Bassmaster Radio for the last several years, and I couldn't be happier. Visit VFOutdoors.com to get your order started today. Whether it's long sleeve, short sleeve, hoodies, and more, it's VFOutdoors.com. Now, remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or you can hit the Nation button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham.
And this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.